Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also come and go with thee. It is written, they went forth and entered into the boat, and that night they took nothing. It is written, Jesus therefore said unto them, Children, have you aught to eat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. It is written, They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. Verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that should be written. With joy I am telling the story I love of Jesus and Blue Galilee, where he left his mansion in glory above to teach by that beautiful sea. Thy blue peaceful waters are sparkling with life, so grand neath the orient sky. Thy bright waves are swelling with melody rife, as Christ telleth news from on high. Thy shore that is sunlit and wondrously blessed, so brilliant with splendor doth shine. And Jesus is healing the sick and distressed, by marvelous power divine. Oh, precious are memories, golden and sweet, that hover around that fair shore. Through ages those dear words their message repeat, and giveth me life evermore.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from John 21. Let's go a-fishing. Well, that's what Peter said. I go a-fishing. Six others with him said, We also come and go with thee. So let's join them and go a-fishing, because Peter seems to be a good fisherman. One time, he did not have enough money to pay his taxes, and his tax consultant advised him to go a-fishing. Peter went a-fishing, and the first fish he caught had enough money in his mouth to pay the tax. By the way, his tax consultant was Jesus. You can read about it in Matthew 17. If one soul is worth more than the whole world, what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world? How much is a net full of souls worth in the sight of God? On another occasion, Peter had gone a-fishing and fished all night and took nothing. An ichthyologist, who happened to be in the boat at the time, advised Peter to try one more time, and he caught enough fish to fill two boats. By the way, an ichthyologist is an expert on the study of fish. His name was Jesus. You can read about it in Luke 5. So here in John 21, Peter says, I go a-fishing, so come on. Let's go a-fishing with him. Early in the ministry of Jesus, he had seen Peter and Andrew by the sea mending their nets. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. All the fishing they had done up to this time was on the Sea of Galilee, a sea honored above all the seas of the world. This was the sea where the Lord of the universe walked on the water. It was a sea where he stilled the tempest and brought forth a miraculous catch of fish on two occasions. That sea was about 12 miles long, 8 miles wide, and it was a sea where he told them to launch out into the deep, a request that had a far-reaching meaning that the apostles could not have understood at that time, because the parameters of their fishing would be enlarged one day to the ocean of humanity, where they would really be doing some deep-sea fishing. Because Jesus would tell them after the resurrection, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. They are still fishing for men today through the faithful preaching of the message Jesus gave the apostles. Actually, the main thrust of the work of the church today should be the preaching of that word that so many have seemed to have forgotten. The motto on every church bulletin board outside the house of worship ought to have these words in large letters. Let's go a-fishing. So they went forth, and that night they took nothing. That seems to be the experience of our fishing many times today. We cast out the gospel net many times and catch nothing. And then we know how the apostles felt at daybreak. All night they toiled, those men of Galilee, casting their heavy nets into the sea. But then Jesus appeared on the beach. Although at about 100 yards away at early dawn, they did not know him. He called, lads, have you aught to eat? They answered him, no. That question should have told them it was Jesus, because he had asked them that same question several days before in Luke 24, when he appeared in the upper room and they thought he was a spirit after his resurrection. He asked them then, have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it before them. Somehow they did not put the same voice and the same question together. Mary Magdalene, on another occasion in John 20, had the same problem. When she looked in the empty tomb and saw two angels in white that asked her, whom seek ye? She said, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She turned back and saw Jesus standing and supposed him to be the gardener. They did not recognize the resurrected Christ by the sound of his voice or by sight until that day when Jesus saw his beloved apostle on the beach, and he said to Peter, it is the Lord. This is a common experience with many of us. a trouble arises in the program of our lives, and everything seems to be all changed. We are disappointed. And then after a while, we have to say like John, it was the Lord. In Genesis 28 is a statement that amplifies that thought. Jacob was fleeing from home, from the wrath of his brother who promised to kill him. He fell asleep in a desert place with a stone for his pillow. He had a dream of a ladder stretching all the way to heaven, angels scampering up and down, the Lord revealing him a glorious future. When he awakened, Jacob said, "The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." This should come as no surprise to the Christian in his efforts to fish for men. Did not Jesus say in the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? And he also said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So look through the dusk of disappointment in life, and you may be able to say, "It was the Lord, and I knew him not." He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. And so it is with us. We work and seem to get nowhere, and then cast the net one more time, and this time we get it right. Always fish from the right side of the boat. The left side is for liberals. You will never catch anything there. Then, too, always remember, whether you are fishing for fish or fishing for men, always obey the directives of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment. Peter had evidently stripped to the waist, and so he labored through the night. Evidently, he did not want to come into the presence of the Lord looking like he just got out of bed until he was properly attired. So he wrapped his cloak about him and cast himself into the sea and swam 100 yards to stand in the presence of the Lord. But the disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off, dragging the net full of fishes. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have now taken." Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent. The command of Jesus to Peter at this point is very instructive. They did not count the fish while they were still in the boat. That's the only way to count the fish. They waited until they were safe on the shore, and then they counted the fish. There will be time enough for counting when the fishing's done. Not until we reach the shore of that sea John spoke of in Revelation 4:6, that sea of glass like unto crystal. Not until then will we know the full tally of the fish we caught. But until that day, let us continue to go a-fishing. We need to note also that when Peter drew the net to land, the net was not rent. Peter must have thought about that on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel net was cast into the sea of humanity before him as he preached the first gospel sermon and told them of the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. When the assembled thousands realized they had killed the Prince of Life, they were pricked in their hearts and asked what they must do. The answer of Peter then and now is the same. "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And it can be said for all there were so many, the net was not rent, because the Lord added unto them day by day those that were saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Jesus had told Peter early in his ministry, after the first great catch of fishes, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference in catching fish and catching men. In catching fish, you draw up from the water a live fish, and it dies. In fishing for men, you draw up out of the water a person who has died and who is dead to sin and is raised to walk up in the newness of life. Remember, Paul said in Colossians 2:12, "When we were buried with Christ in baptism, we were dead in trespasses and made alive together with him when raised up." This is now the third time Jesus was manifested to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So let's go fishing. When Peter drew the fish to land, the Lord told them to come and break their fast. Then cometh Jesus and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. Jesus served as the waiter on this occasion. And that reminds us of other times when the Lord was the waiter, serving the food, both physical and spiritual, to his disciples. In the feeding of the 5,000, he brake and gave to them. In the feeding of the 4,000, he brake and gave to them. In the institution of the Lord's Supper, he brake the loaf and gave to them. And at the second coming of Jesus, there is the promise the Lord made in Luke 12 in reference to the second coming. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them." He brake the bread at the meeting of the resurrected Christ. Break the bread at the feeding of the 5,000. Break the bread at the feeding of the 4,000. Break the bread at the feeding of the Lord's Supper. And he will break the bread at his second coming. Evidently, we as human beings are all helpless in sustaining life here on this earth and in heaven, either temporal or in the future. No wonder we have a right to sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." After this breakfast by the fireside, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. He remembered how he had denied the Lord three times at another fireside of coals, and now Jesus asked him three times if he loves him at this fireside of coals. Jesus did not ask Peter if he was sorry he denied him three times. He didn't ask him if he promised never to do it again. He only asked him if he loved him. Jesus knew that was all that was necessary. If Peter loved him, the rest would take care of itself. Then Jesus told him to feed his lambs, tend his sheep, and feed his sheep. After this, Jesus told Peter, "While he was young, he girded himself and walketh whither he would. But when thou shalt be old, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Being born is the only way a person can come into this world. But ladies and gentlemen, There are only two ways to die. You can die in Christ or out of Christ. Jesus said, "Except ye believe in me, ye shall die in your sins." Paul says in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Then in Revelation 14, that wonderful word, "Blessed are they who die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You have a choice: die in your sin or die in the Lord. After this prediction, Jesus said, "Follow me." Peter saw John following and asked, "What will this man do?" Then Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, follow thou me." This may have been a reminder to Peter about the time Jesus walked by and saw them washing their nets when he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And how could he forget a similar incident of the day early in the ministry of Jesus when he heard Jesus say, "Follow me," when they fished all night and taken nothing. And upon the advice of Jesus, he caught a net full of fishes. On that day, Jesus had told Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Let's go a fishing. Jesus predicted that Peter would die by crucifixion. Tradition tells us he was crucified upside down, not being worthy to die as the Lord died. Paul speaks for us all when he declares in Philippians 1, "With all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Had Peter known the song, he could have sung, "The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Let's go a-fishing, seeing that this day will come when I wouldest not. What shall we do until then?" The answer of Jesus is, "Follow thou me." Peter would later remember these words of the Lord when he said in his second epistle, "The putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus signified unto me." Peter lived the rest of his life under the shadow of the cross. He knew it was coming. In his first epistle, he reminds us that Jesus gave us the invitation that we should follow in his steps. Jesus says to us, as well as to Peter, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There are enough crosses to go around for everyone who would respond to the Lord's invitation, "Follow thou me." Learn to live like Peter, under the shadow of the cross. "I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me." John concludes his gospel story of Jesus telling us, "There are also many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose the world itself would not contain the books that should be written. But some of those other things that Jesus did are written. If you turn the page and read the first chapter of the book of Acts, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up. What Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was only the beginning of what Jesus did and taught. His work continued on in the story of the book of Acts, as example after example tells the story of the conversion of sinners, how they heard the story of the cross and resurrection, believed in it, repented, and were baptized for the remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that story will continue until the day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns. All of these words and works are being written down now in a book and will be read off on the day of judgment when it is said in Revelation 20, and the books were opened. So until that day when the book is opened that tells us what the Lord Jesus has continued to do and teach through his servants down through the centuries since he went away, let us remember, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So come on, let's go a-fishing. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and remember, look at our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.